happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup.
What a week. As impeachment...
Don't we say that every week?
Well, as impeachment looms, Trump is plowing ahead, sowing our courts with reactionary, unqualified judges. You may say that's not news, but the more, the worse.
You might say that's only one tiny thing of all the things he's doing, but it's not good for us. Meanwhile, his former opponent and the person who beat him in the election, yes, Hillary Clinton, has shared with us that she's, quote, never been tempted, unquote, to have sex with a woman. I'm not sure I believe that.
There are bills to codify discrimination against LGBTQ people introduced in the United States and Australia.
And you've probably all seen this by now, but an out lesbian, one of the most famous, is Sports Illustrated Sports Person of the Year.
Legendary activist Roll Arena has been canonized. Why is that? That's not funny.
Well,
a miracle has been worked in her name.
If you believe in that kind of thing.
Well,
I believe in Roll Arena.
Yes.
The mafia, are we allowed to say that word? In southern Italy, has dropped its ban on gay bosses.
And AIDS activists are demanding that Facebook take down the ads on their site that they say discourage PrEP use.
It's right. Complicated, but we'll get to
so
that.
So, Trump, what a week. I mean, cutting 700,000 people off food stamps in time for the holidays, declaring Jews a race instead of a religion, which is tantamount to what Hitler did, and although he thinks it's nice for Jewish people.
And calling the FBI scum.
And, you know, and William Barr saying, if you want the protection of the police, well, you know, you better be nice to them.
But the thing with the most long-lasting impact probably is the ongoing appointment of right-wing judges to the federal courts. Yes. And the newest one is an out gay man.
Yeah. Patrick Bumate. Is that how we say his name?
Yes.
He's the first federal appellate court judge appointed to a circuit. He was confirmed.
Obama appointed one guy to a special federal appeals court.
He was confirmed 53 to 40. He was a San Diego prosecutor. He wasn't supported by his home state senators, Feinstein and Harris. Total lack of experience in appellate matters, worked on the Trump policy of separating children from parents at the border. He's the son of Filipino immigrants. He and his husband are raising twin daughters, and he's a member of the Federalist Society.
Now, he at least has appeared in federal court, as opposed to some of Trump's appointees, but he is being opposed by all the Democrats, and including his home state senators, and he's considered a pretty right-wing guy.
And then there's this woman, Sarah Pitlick, rated not qualified by the American Bar Association. She was only confirmed 49 to 44 because she doesn't have any trial experience.
At all.
And she defends anti-abortion activists. We could go on and on with the. I mean, they really are running out of people. They're scraping the bottom of the barrel. These people, they did go to law school. Some of them went to good law schools.
Mm-hmm.
So they have academic qualifications, but they don't have real world experience. They're very young. They're going to be around forever, which is why I will remind you, when we get a Democratic president in Congress, we have got to expand the federal courts to balance this.
Well, I think we can escape by the chin of our chinny chin chin if we get in there quickly and start making our own appointments.
They've got more than another year to keep.
Yes, they do.
And they will make lame. You're not supposed to say that anymore. You know, if he loses, they'll make more appointments before he clears
out. Lots more.
Et cetera.
Yeah, but right. We got to take the Senate. That's really important.
Yes.
All right. Meanwhile,
very difficult too.
Some mixed results. Well, the final defense authorization bill.
Yeah.
Originally, the House version had a provision in it that would allow trans people to serve in the military. That would basically repeal the ban.
Republicans don't like that.
Well, and the Senate passed a version that didn't have it. So then they go to conference and they argue over it. And guess what? The Senate won. The provision is out of the bill.
Well, now it says that they encourage the military to grant waivers allowing trans soldiers to enlist. That's never happened.
No.
And it has a provision to help LGBT soldiers kicked out under Don't Ask, Don't Tell to fight for honorable discharges, facilitating
access to federal benefits. Yeah, so there are crumbs. There are crumbs in the bill, but not what we really wanted. A little better news on this trade pact with Mexico and Canada. Well, the Democrats succeeded in getting something we've wanted for a long time, and that is taking away some of the patent protections for the pharmaceutical industry that have been written into these bills. We have been demonstrating against this stuff since Al Gore ran for president, and we went after him for having been a major architect of putting those protections in these trade pacts.
Because that's where the money is.
And yes, because the pharmaceutical industry are major donors to the candidates. And we were happy when the Trans-Pacific Partnership went down in flames because it contained large protections for the pharmaceutical industry. So we are happy that the Trump administration, in its greater wisdom and desperation to get this thing passed, was willing to go along with diminishing the patent protections
don't count your chickens, because the Republicans said they're not even going to act on the bill until January or next year sometime.
Well, that would not be good news, because there are also some new labor protections written into the bill, which are good, and environmental protections. So I guess Trump, I guess, wants to be able to say he negotiated a compromise and everybody's on board, but the Senate can undercut him if they decide not to pass it.
So the Trump campaign is peddling pride merchandise while destroying LGBT rights. Mike Signorelli wrote about this, and he says this isn't to get gay votes, because, you know, 14% of us voted for him in the last election.
That's
which
too
is,
high.
Well, I mean, that's almost nothing. Come on. It's one of the best. It's one of the best.
He didn't win those Midwestern states by much.
It's one of the best Democratic votes that there is, next to African Americans.
It's still shameful.
Well,
stop doing that.
All right. But Mike says this is a signal to non-gay voters who don't want to feel that they're that bigoted by voting for him.
They're losing white suburban women in droves.
Yeah.
That's why we had a lot of gains in the 2018 election. And so this is an attempt to get them back. So they're peddling.
Don't buy it.
Rainbow Make America Great Again hats and LGBTQ for Trump shirts. But my favorite moment in Trump land this week was that they held the annual event where the Kennedy Center honorees go to the State Department.
I didn't know that they did that. But
yes, they do it every year.
There was Mike Pompeo up there.
Yes. So this is Sally Field, Linda Ronstadt, Earth, Wind, and Fire, and Michael Tilson Thomas, also out gay. And
Sally Field is a PFLAG mom.
Yeah. And whatever. And someone else. So this is before they do the actual ceremony. Thank you. You're right. Sesame Street. Before they do the actual ceremony at the Kennedy Center, they have a reception at the State Department. So Pompeo gets up there and says, and trying to be clever and quoting Linda Ronstadt, lyrics, says, "When will I be loved?" And Linda Ronstadt looks him right in the eye and says, "Maybe when you stop enabling Donald Trump."
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you, Linda.
And Sally Field said that she would not have attended if Trump had attended. She just wouldn't have gone.
And Trump,
he doesn't go.
He doesn't go. Yes, I guess he doesn't want to be booed at the Kennedy Center.
It wouldn't be one of his rallies.
And we move on to ancillary political news.
Ancillary, I think that one of the big news is that what this introduction of the Fairness Act. The Fairness for All Act.
Oh, yeah.
This was introduced sort of along the lines of the gay rights bill passed in Utah, and it was introduced by Chris Stewart, a Republican from Utah. And it basically, you know, it says that it's an LGBT rights bill, but it codifies a lot of anti-LGBT discrimination. Anybody's got a religious objection, it's opposed by all the major civil rights groups. You know, the House
is opposed by the right wing too.
That's right.
Here's what happened in Utah several years ago, and this was a big fight that we debated a lot. There was a proposal for an LGBT non-discrimination bill in Utah. But what they wanted to do was just add us to their existing civil rights law. But their civil rights law is a very right-wing law that has a hole this wide to drive a truck through for religious exemptions.
And their argument was, this is all we can get in a state like this.
And no one else gets more than this, so we're just adding you in. And there were a lot of people who said, it's not enough, this is a bad precedent, people are going to work off of this and try to replicate this, and it really is nothing but an open door for the religious right to justify discrimination. So yes, along comes now representatives from Utah, Republican representatives, who say, yes, let's replicate this. We're at loggerheads. We need a compromise between the religious and the gays. And they propose this. But the right wing says it goes too far, be nice to the gays. And the gays say it goes too far, be nice to the religious. And we've already passed the Equality Act in the House of Representatives. And we're not going to go backwards from that.
We passed the Equality Act by a 236-173 vote. So, as Ann said, and you focus on this, folks, because we're coming into 2020. And we do need to win the Senate. And to do it, we've got to win Arizona, Maine, Susan Collins. We've got to win Colorado.
Yep.
And we've got to win North Carolina and maybe even hold on to Alabama if they run Roy Moore again. Maybe Doug Jones can be reelected. Not impossible. But these are that is it. That's the landscape.
And if we do that, we can pass the Equality Act, which is the real Civil Rights Act.
We might have to get rid of the filibuster, too.
I'm not up to date on all the ins and outs of that, but we need to take the Senate to pass things like this and have a Democratic president who will sign it.
Right.
But don't be fooled by the Fairness for All Act, because it is a lie, it's a sham, and it won't work.
To quote Ann Northrup.
From a long time ago.
How about that, Hillary?
Well, that's where I thought we were going next, yeah.
All right. She goes on the Howard Stern show. She's asking for it. So he asks.
Oh, she loves things like that. They all
do. Does she do that show a lot?
No, I don't know. But
Trump used to do it a lot. So she's asked about the lesbian rumors. And she says, well, contrary to what you might hear, I actually like men.
Lesbians don't hate men.
Never had a lesbian affair. Never been tempted. Thank you very much. Really? Is that the way you answer that? Never been tempted? Why not just say, might have been nice if I had, given who I was married to?
Even not that there's anything wrong with that. But no, she couldn't even do that. I would stick up my middle finger, but that would be rude
even
and
Ed
inappropriate.
Koch, who was a terrible closet case, you know, said, well, I'm not, but he was, of course. But he said, but if I were, I hope I would be proud.
Well, that's because he didn't want gay people to get any madder at him than they already were. Hillary, there have been many, many, many rumors about Hillary for many years. I have no idea what the truth is.
And yet,
tell you there are a lot of people who are quite adamant about it.
Every time every time I post something about Lindsey Graham, everybody piles in on like he's a closet case. We don't have any proof.
Does anyone
of that
offer
either.
Proof?
Well, no, we don't.
I don't have any doubts about Lindsey Graham, but
did you hold the candle?
But I would like—I would certainly like some evidence.
We don't have
even anecdotal evidence on both of them.
We don't have any doubts about Megan Rapinoe.
No.
She's been an out lesbian for a long time. She was named by Sports Illustrated, there she is in all her splendor, as Sports Person of the Year. She was co-captain of the U.S. team that won the World Cup, stood up to Trump, took a knee, demanded equal pay. She's the fourth, only the fourth woman to be named in 66 years on her own as the sportsperson of the
year. Now, can you put that picture up again, please?
Megan Rapinoe.
So she's wearing this Valentino dress. I don't think it's the greatest ever Valentino dress, but whatever. Well, I'd like to see her at a sports...
Who are you, Joan Rivers on the
yes, fashion police. Oh, it's a beautiful dress. I just think, you know, what? They're trying to femme her up by putting her in a Valentino dress, carrying a sledgehammer. You know, why not have her in more athletic garb? That's what she won for. But part of the motif of the dress is two figures embracing amidst big roses or whatever. And I've been trying to figure out whether the gender of the embracing figures, I think it's a man and a woman.
We don't know what their gender is, but the word of the year, according to Merriam-Webster, is they. To which their dictionary has added the definition, a person whose gender identity is non-binary. They said there was a 313% increase in lookups for they because of Oslo Grace, who was a top model that came out as non-binary, Representative Pramila Jayapal, speaking of her gender non-conforming child. This boosted
this. Well, there's been a lot of talk all year about
Well, these were the things that made it tick up, they said. In October, the American Psychological Association endorsed they as a singular third-person pronoun in their style guide for academic writing.
In New Hampshire, Nashua, New Hampshire, the schools there have adopted a new policy where to protect trans and gender nonconforming students. New Hampshire as a whole has a law that is supposed to expand those kinds of protections, and Nashua has adopted the guidelines and protection.
And Billy D. Williams has clarified his comments that
yes.
we reported on last week at 82. He is not gender fluid, he says. He doesn't know what that means. He just meant in his interview to say that he's in touch with his softer side, his feminine side. He cited Carl Jung's concept of anima animus, where anima is the female counterpart of the male self, and the animus is the male counterpart of the female. We're animus? That doesn't sound very nice.
I can't say I'm surprised.
He wants us all to read Carl Jung.
Don't hold your breath, Billy. In Arizona, a very interesting decision. A county judge refused to approve a name change by a trans person who was trying to go into court and change their name. The judge said that they had failed to show cause for the name change. Now, people go into court every day to change their name for various reasons. Unless they are believed to be doing it for nefarious reasons, right, to avoid a judgment or something, it's a routine thing to allow people to change their names. But trans people go to court to change their names, and suddenly there is this layer of suspicion. So this county judge said, no, I'm not going to let you do that. Well, the Arizona Court of Appeals has overruled the county judge and said that is an illegitimate reason for refusing the name change. You are a bigot, and we are allowing the name change to go through.
And I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves and report on every single poll, but in Arizona, the latest poll for the presidential election next year found Biden and Buttigieg in a dead heat with Trump. A state that has already elected a bisexual moderate Democratic senator, Kyrsten Sinema. Sanders has been dropping a bit there. Warren's at 42% versus Trump's 47, so it's doable. Pete has finally acknowledged who his client list was at McKinsey, got permission to do that, made some news with that. One of our viewers wrote, said, thinks that we were trashing him. We don't trash anybody.
We trash lots of people, but what they do.
It's just reporting.
It's not a personal thing.
No.
It's about what they do or say.
As Speaker Pelosi says, I don't hate anybody.
Would like to go along with that. I'm not sure I can.
Okay.
But all right.
All right. Chick-fil-A. The American Family Association is still mad at them. They said Chick-fil-A still won't fund Christian athletes in the Salvation Army and is funding, get this, Covenant House, which is, they say, a group that helps LGBT people. Now it's a Catholic homeless services organization.
We used to be mad at them because Covenant House was not doing enough to do AIDS education to their residents, but that was 30 years ago.
I mean,
so.
They do good work with, I'm sure they have some restrictions because they're a Catholic organization.
Well, they provide shelter for
yes,
a lot of homeless youth.
They do.
Yeah.
They do.
In Georgia, a little political news locally, in Doraville, Georgia, an out gay man, Joseph
Geierman.
Thank you. Beat the incumbent mayor in a runoff for the mayoral spot. He is the fourth current out LGBT mayor in Georgia.
There's hope everywhere.
And these are all small towns.
And Savannah has its first out gay council member, a guy named Curtis Purty, who was, I think, a former cop, who ousted a 20-year veteran there. He's an out candidate as well.
Are we taking over? Will Pete Buttigieg be elected president?
Why not? We had didn't we have a black guy as president for a while there in the United States? I think we did.
I was very happy to see Stacey Abrams say that she, yes, would love to run for vice president.
Yes.
I was very, very.
See, I'm not going to limit my options.
I'm not going to hide my ambition. I'm not going to be coy.
She'd be
I'm
great.
I'm going to be forthright. Oh, my God. I still want her to be president.
Well, you know, if there's a broken convention, she will be.
She will be a vice president to Joe Biden, and he will do virtually nothing, and she can run the show, and she can take over one term.
Yeah, Pence is running the show, running a lot of the show now. The Mormon Church, their genealogy website that they run, has added gay couples to the database.
Yeah, but they're still not acknowledging same-sex marriages, and they're not, you know, it's a very dicey thing.
All right.
It's minor.
How about this one?
Okay.
The New York State Democratic Party had for 100 years, they elect state committee members, one woman and one man from every assembly district. That's how the party is run. And the non-binary people said that excludes us. So now they will all be people of different genders or both non-binary. So the first elections under the new rules are in 2022.
So you can't have two men or two women.
Right.
You can have two non-binary and you can have a man
and
a woman or a man
right.
or a woman and a non-binary person. Okay. A
couple of things from Kentucky. First of all, you read the horrible thing where the Supreme Court of the United States let stand a law that requires abortion clinics in the state to have a doctor do an ultrasound on a pregnant woman to so that they can hear the fetal heartbeat together. And by the way, if it's too early for a sonogram, they have to use a vaginal probe to get in there and look at. And this was signed by Governor Matt Bevins, who was just defeated, but the idea of overturning that would be difficult. And they also introduced a bill, pre-filed it, to keep trans students from using restrooms that align with their gender identities, to spare non-transgender students embarrassment, shame, and psychological injury. And it lets a kid who experiences a transgender person in the restroom to sue the school. They call this the jackpot clause on our side.
Yes. What fragile flowers they are.
All right. What else? Nashua, Arizona, Georgia, the Mormon Church. Oh, horrible story from California. An inmate who killed his trans cellmate at the Kern Valley State Prison was sentenced to death. This trans inmate was living with her lover in the cell, and they didn't like that, you know, a man and you know, a trans woman. And this is where they pulled them. So they said, no, we're going to stick somebody else in there. This guy had said, if you stick me in there, I'm killing her. And he did. So it's just grotesque.
And what was she doing in the men's prison anyway?
Exactly. Exactly. I think they've made some modifications about that in California since then. But prison, you know, you lose everything, right?
Are we ready to move on to international
news?
All right. Well, actually, the big story of the week, well, there are several, of course, but the Miss Universe pageant.
Yes.
Formerly a product of Donald J. Trump Incorporated,
Thank goodness,
he sold it when he became president. But, and in fact, he did, you know, years ago, there was a trans contestant for Miss Universe, and he supported her. We don't feel anything he does is sincere, but he did hold a press conference. He probably, that's why he supported her, so he could hold a press conference and get some credit. But anyway, that there's that history. But now Miss Universe, this year, held in Tyler Perry Studios in Atlanta, Georgia, had its first out lesbian contestant.
Suisin Tet.
From Myanmar.
She said, LGBT was not accepted there. You get 10 years in prison for same-sex relations in that state, that country. She was right out there. And
her? That's someone wearing a Miss Universe sash. She is not Miss Universe. Looks a little like her, but...
aren't they like Miss Universe Myanmar, Miss, you know?
Yes.
I think that's the way it works.
Okay, all right.
She was Miss Universe Myanmar.
Yes.
But she didn't win the whole thing. Zozi Beanie Tunzi of South Africa did.
Who was very fierce. For you, watch the whole Miss Universe pageant, because I wanted to see what happened to Miss Myanmar. She did not make the first cut to the semifinalists. They had 90 contestants. 20 are chosen at the top of the show as semifinalists. She was not one of them, but she was part of the whole parade of all the contestants on stage at the beginning.
But the South African winner said she grew up in a world. She grew up in a world where a woman who looks like me, with my kind of skin and my kind of hair, was never considered to be beautiful. That stops today. So it's the first time we've had a black Miss America, USA, Teen USA, and Universe.
At the same time.
Yes.
They've all...
Yes, at the same time.
We've had black winners before.
Yes, of course.
And the final question...
Vanessa Williams for 5 minutes.
The final question to the finalist contestants was, what should we be teaching young girls? And Miss South Africa said, we should be teaching girls leadership. We should be teaching them to take up space in the world.
Yes.
And that was a pretty strong, radical statement to make. And it put her head and shoulders, I thought, above the other contestants.
Yes.
I was really happy when she won, because she was the boldest and the smartest and the strongest and extremely attractive. But
that is not a radical statement in... Are you finished with Miss Universe?
No.
Go ahead.
Miss Myanmar... also was given interviews ahead of time. She's known as Superman in Myanmar because she is such an outstrong person. And they talk about how she's actually illegal in Myanmar as an out lesbian. She has a girlfriend of 3 years, another Myanmar star, a singer named Guy Guy.
These are the truly brave people in the world,
right?
You know. But if you're looking for women leadership, you got to go to Finland. The new prime minister there, Sanna Marin, 34 years old. She's the youngest national leader in the world. Was raised by two moms. She didn't feel free to discuss her rainbow family as a child, said it made her feel invisible and inferior, but she said she didn't really face bullying and said her mom made her feel as if she could accomplish anything, and she's from a working class gay family, made her see the importance of social justice. The entire government, you may have seen pictures of this, sorry we don't have one, the entire leadership of the government is women in Finland now.
And she talked about how she's committed to liberty and justice for all, and that is her strong platform for leading the government. All right. A little survey from Brazil shows that once Bolsonaro got elected, same-sex marriages shot through the roof with people trying to protect themselves ahead of his right-wing policies coming into force.
Yep.
From January to October in 2018, there were 546 same-sex marriages a month. Most recently, 3,098 a month since then in 2018.
Better news from the Philippines, where Duterte, I'm not a fan, made a trans woman, an LGBT activist, Dindi Tan, director of agrarian reform.
She had been the assistant program manager, so she got elevated. Also, and she is an activist on trans issues. He, Duterte, had previously named a trans man as the chair of the National Youth Congress. It's hard to imagine that anything that Duterte does is...
He's all over the lot on these things.
Yeah, he
is. On this issue.
Yeah.
He's very bad on drugs and killing people who take drugs. Extrajudicially.
In Monaco, the parliament has okayed civil unions for everybody. Same-sex.
Even if you just live together,
yep.
Doesn't matter. In the United Kingdom, the University of Birmingham is telling LGBT staffers at their campus in Dubai, hide your sexual identities.
Yeah, that's nice. It's the Rainbow Network at the university that's warning Dubai employees of the university.
It's tough to be out in these places.
And on the subject of violence, in Argentina, a great activist there, Pablo Fulana Borsata, 36 years old, stabbed to death.
There he is. He
was
found murdered. I mean, apparently it's by a young man that he was sheltering in his home who had a lot of issues, to say the least.
Very disturbed kid
who apparently had gay friends and trans friends himself. But this guy was one of the founders of the Pride March in Cologne. In Cambodia, they're instituting lessons on LGBT issues in 2020 to fight bullying and discrimination from the seventh grade. It will be part of sex education, and it puts Cambodia in the lead in Southeast Asia and way ahead of the United States of America.
Definitely. In India, the president has signed the bad trans rights bill that we and trans activists in India see as a step backwards because it adds extra layers hoops people have to jump through to get, you know, identity papers, any kind of sanctioning.
And if you want to see how your country is doing or how we compare with other countries, the International Lesbian and Gay Association has issued its report on state-sponsored homophobia, a decade of progress and backtracking. 70 countries still criminalize adult same-sex activity. 6 have the death penalty, including Saudi Arabia and Iran. But we are making progress, obviously, on some fronts, but we're only protected in like 6% of constitutions. 35% have broad laws protecting us from 30%, excuse me, have broad laws protecting us from discrimination. And 16% have some partner recognition. But you can go to the ILGA.org website, and you can read this voluminous report and see how we compare.
And we fear a step backwards impending in Australia. They are debating a bill that extends religious exemptions to discrimination laws, and the bill is just getting worse and worse.
Because that's the way the right wing wants it, and they have a fundamentalist for a prime minister, Scott Morrison.
Yeah. So we're keeping an eye on it, but it is not looking good for that.
And it's so broad
that
it can accommodate any bigoted belief.
Yeah.
Patients can be turned away, especially trans patients.
But trans activists held their first Pride March in Budapest, Hungary. Hundreds of people marched for trans rights. And we want to congratulate our old pal and downtown artist hero, Justin Vivian Bond. They are appearing at the Vienna State Opera in a new opera based on the Virginia Woolf book, Orlando, about a character who changes genders. It's all sort of
fantastical. Over the centuries.
Yes. So it's
Tilda Swinton in the movie.
Yes, exactly. But Justin Vivian Bond on the stage of the Vienna State Opera. And you can actually see this online. It's going to be available online, streaming from December 18th through 20th, just for 3 days, at staatsoperlive.com. We'll put that in our note, but it's staatsoperlive.com, December 18th through 20th.
All right. In Italy, southern Italy, the mafia there has dropped the ban on gay men. They used to murder you if you were gay, you were discovered to be gay. But now, as long as they don't parade it in public, it's okay. Many soldiers freely enjoy drag, and one boss is living under the drag name Lady Godiva. So it may sound...
Remember when one of the mafia hitmen here was gay?
Yeah.
And he turned on the bosses,
yes.
And that was a
whole
big deal.
Look, this is a serious business. They control 80% of the cocaine flow in Europe, earning more than $38 billion a year.
All and right. Promoting a lot of violence.
All right. How are we doing on time? AIDS news.
Yes.
Well, the big news was that scores of HIV AIDS groups wrote to Mark Zuckerberg at Facebook saying, you know, these messages that are running on Facebook talking about the negative health effects of Truvada by law firms who want you to sue Gilead, I guess, are suppressing people taking the drugs, and it's causing harm to public health.
This is the latest chapter in the fight between the sort of establishment AIDS groups and activist AIDS groups against the AIDS Healthcare Foundation in California, which has been controversial in some of its attitudes around issues and has taken some iconoclastic stands. And they are promoting this theory of we should be suing Gilead for not being clearer about the side effects of Truvada. Now, at the same time that activists are up in arms about these ads on Facebook, there have been statements over the years warning people about potential side effects of Truvada.
If you take PrEP or any AIDS drugs, you need to have your vitals monitored, your kidney function, et cetera.
So that liver, kidney,
all those things,
and tenofovir, which is one of the main ingredients of Truvada, is also a component of AIDS treatment drugs. So it's not just PrEP; it's also using the same drug for treatment in a different combination. So, certainly, to the extent that this would scare people off of PrEP or PEP. Post-exposure prophylaxis, it's not a good thing. But on the other hand, we don't want to give Gilead a pass. People are still suing Gilead for suppressing the release of their supposedly a little better, a little fewer side effects drugs.
And that was in the news this week as well. Some interesting news from Western Australia. For the first time, there were more hetero-identifying men testing positive for HIV than gay-identified men. MSM diagnoses are down 51% over the average of the last 5 years.
Is this because of PrEP use?
Yes, because of heterosexuals. Well, they're actually attributing the rise for heterosexual men to unprotected sex in Southeast Asia, I guess on sex tourism or something.
Yeah.
So they're doing an ad campaign warning people who engage in that kind of activity to put a bag on it.
Well, it's the same issue that we've been talking about for, almost 40 years now. Which is that because we started this all out by saying gay, everybody else felt they were immune in some way, that somehow the virus was connected to sexual orientation.
Well, and the warnings that were put out by the government said avoid anal sex. It wouldn't say avoid a vaginal sex.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
Yeah, so it's all skewed. So, and we tried desperately to say to people, don't listen to that. You have to understand that if you're having unprotected intercourse, you are at risk, and you have to assess your risk, and you have to act accordingly, and you have to be responsible for your own protection. You can't go around pointing fingers at people if you're not willing to protect yourself. It is up to you. And straight men have not always taken that warning seriously, and thus you have something like this.
No, I was part of a group that sued the New York State Health Department because they said no oral sex or anal sex in a public place. Well, I mean, not like a bathhouse. oral sex, which has a minimal, you know, transmission statistics. But they were signaling women, you don't have to worry.
Right.
And so we sued over it. By the time we won the suit, I mean, a lot of people have been infected. And
I remember a very controversial piece by a woman activist getting angry that someone had included women as possibly infected and possibly infecting others. And she said, how dare you say women are vectors of disease, blah, blah, blah. Well, no. We're just saying here is the spectrum of risk.
If you are interested in these issues and would like more to hear more about it, we're going to be doing a special AIDS panel in a couple of weeks here at on Gay USA.
New Year's week.
Yeah, the week of New Year's. We're going to have an all-star panel, and we're really going to explore all these issues. In the meantime, we're urging Governor Cuomo in New York to sign legislation he has threatened to veto that would make PEP, post-exposure prophylaxis, available to minors who are sexually assaulted. Now, it's always offered to people who are sexually assaulted, but minors have to involve their parents, and some of them are gay or trans or whatever, and they can't involve their parents, or for whatever reason, or non-gay. So call the governor and please demand that he sign this bill.
I would like to demand that Alan Keyes stop pushing a bleach drink.
Alan Keyes, who's that?
He's from Illinois. He ran for president. He ran for senator.
Against Barack Obama.
He is a maniac and a right-wing activist and
now
with all sorts of crazy stuff that he's
poisoning people.
Yes, because it turns out that when you put the ingredients of this drink together and drink it, you can die.
Yeah.
But he says it's a cure for HIV and
what do they call it? Snake oil.
At best, I think it's snake venom.
It's toxic.
Yeah.
But totally untoxic and totally wonderful was the Red Bucket Follies that Broadway Cares puts on every year now. This season, this time, we got a big picture of all the young people who came out in the beginning. They raised over $5.6 million this season. Andre DeShields did the moment of silence, recalling he's in Hadestown, the star he won, the Tony, the death of his partner of 17 years. And he said Broadway Cares helped them through it, and kept him from becoming homeless after his partner died. Seth Rudesky did this for the 12th time. It was a wonderful show, and the winning skit was from Fiddler on the Roof in Yiddish, who did the Radio City Hanukkah Spectacular. It'll be online. I'm sure they'll be posting clips in no time.
Such a strange world we live in, where we have the heroes and the devils all in one breath.
Last week
we had the three fifth grade girls in Utah who were standing up for their classmate. We have the Broadway Cares, which has stood up for so many people for so many years.
That's the thing. There are so many good things happening in the society, but the structure of our governance is evil at this point.
Yeah, I mean,
and it's impeding what's so good about people being brought to the fore and being reflected in how we're governed.
I can get very negative about our prospects as a country when I see these bozos who are running things and the horrible things they do. But then I am reminded that at least half the society, and possibly a lot more, are really terrific people who want to do good things and are performing acts of courage and heroism every day.
And yet, we are vulnerable because the bigots are being unleashed,
Empowered.
Right,
empowered.
Exactly. And taking it out on us.
Among others. You know, we are not the only victims in this society.
I'm going to save that for later. Should we do entertainment news?
Sure.
Well, let's start with the canonization. Our old buddy Rollerina, activist and national treasure since the 1970s.
Bowing her head humbly.
With Reverend Billy from the Church of Stop Shopping. This was done at Joe's Pub. Rolla Rina talked about the miracle that was worked in her name. That's what you'd have to do to be a saint. And on 7th Avenue. And look,
Rolla Rina was famous for decades for roller skating around 7th Avenue with a lovely white dress and tiara and a wand.
And blessed people, basically.
Yes, anointed them.
Anointed them. And it was such a wondrous, happy thing for people. I mean, brought more joy to the Pride Parade than almost anything.
Yeah.
People like seeing the parents and things like that.
Or just on a daily basis. Rolla Rina was out there all the time.
And Rolla Rina is, in person, is a great activist in Mufti, who does things with Pride, Rise and Resist, GAG, all those groups.
Very much still around, very much still active.
Big tenant activist as well. We all owe a lot to Rolla Rina. So
originally
I'm glad that she
Kentucky,
has been made a saint.
A southern girl.
Kentucky.
Yeah. And
coal miner's daughter.
And a wonderful human being. So
we
congratulations,
Rolla
Saint Rolla Rina. We could use a few miracles these days.
We could. Okay.
We should talk about the Golden Globe Awards.
Yeah, not a lot of LGBT stuff
A few things I want to mention. They're going to be on NBC on January 5th, and thank God they're bringing back Ricky Gervais as the host.
You like that, huh?
Ricky Gervais can be upsetting and edgy, but man, is he entertaining. And a lot braver and bolder than the pablum that often shows up. So I was happy to see Awkwafina get nominated for Best Actress in a Comedy Movie for The Farewell. She, I think, is terrific. And the movie also got nominated for Best Foreign Language Film, because a lot of it is in Chinese, but it's a U.S. film.
Yeah. Parasite got nominated under Best Foreign Film, and it's being touted for possibly Best Oscar Film.
Yeah, but foreign films can be nominated for overall Best Oscar, but you don't nominate U.S. films for Best Foreign Language Film, even if they do include foreign language. It's very, very, this is the Hollywood Foreign Press, who are totally weird.
Anyway.
But there's also nominated for Best Foreign Language is a movie I haven't seen, which evidently has a strong lesbian theme, from France, Portrait of a Lady on Fire. That might be something to check out.
Antonio,
if any of you have seen that, let me know. I'd like to know
Antonio
what you think.
Antonio Banderas, not gay, but playing a gay guy, Almodovar, in the autobiographical film Pain and Glory for Best Actor in a Drama. Renee Zellweger playing the gay icon, Judy Garland, for Best Actress. Taron Egerton, also not gay that we know of, I think, but playing Elton John and Rocket Man for Actor
in a Comedy
Musical.
Yeah, Rocket Man got a lot of nominations.
Ben Platt in The Politician on, I guess it's Netflix, isn't it? And Billy Porter for Pose.
Yeah.
And Patricia Arquette for The Act. So,
and Best TV Shows, Fleabag, which won a lot of Emmys last year, and Killing Eve, the other Phoebe Waller-Bridge production that is so homoerotic with Sandra Oh and Jodie Comer, really one of my top favorite shows.
So,
and The Crown and Big Little Lies.
So we're excited that they're making a movie out of The Prom, although I love
it. Wait a minute. I'm not quite finished the Golden Globes. Because I want to point out that Lena Waithe and her movie Queen and Slim were not nominated.
Snubbed,
and that's gotten such huge attention and acclaim, and no woman was nominated, I think, for a director. The Hollywood Foreign Press is a little retrograde in there. I mean, there are a bunch
of
wackos. Yeah,
they drink a lot.
The Ava DuVernay movie, When They See Us, also not nominated for anything.
Really? It was fabulous.
Yeah.
If you can catch it on Netflix, do.
So is the Golden Globes racist?
No, the foreign press. They've never had a very high consciousness. That's why
they did nominate the Harriet Tubman movie for a lot of stuff.
Okay.
Whatever.
All right.
But I'll be watching Ricky Gervais.
I love The Prom on Broadway. They are they're making a movie of it. And the announcement this week is that the out lesbian actor Joe Allen Pellman has been cast in the lead of the movie. There she is. It also stars Meryl Streep and Nicole Kidman, James Corden, Andrew Rannells. It's
and Awkwafina and Kerry Washington.
Written by Chad Begalen, Bob Martin, and Matthew Sklar. We had Chad
Keegan
on the show.
Keegan Michael Key.
It's going to premiere in September of 2020 and then be on Netflix.
It's a Ryan Murphy production, so I'm sure that it will be of high quality.
So, The Inheritance continues on Broadway, the two-part gay play. And the guy who plays Henry Wilcox, John Benjamin Hickey, has to go off and direct Plaza Suite with Matthew Broderick and Sarah Jessica Parker. So he's being replaced with Tony Goldwyn, who played gay in The Sum of Us in a little off-Broadway show from Australia many years ago. It's a movie that went to Russell Crowe in the movies. He's a former president, by the way, Tony Goldwyn, of the Creative Coalition and a liberal advocacy group.
Wasn't he the president on the Kerry Washington? She was his affair on the TV show.
Right. But he worked very hard for Hillary Clinton and everything, and it'll be interesting to see him play a Trump supporter.
I want to thank Jennifer Lopez for showing up on Saturday Night Live wearing a tux in the opening monologue.
Yeah.
Quite lovely. And then stripped it off to appear in her Versace green dress.
The Hallmark Channel has been getting some heat because they do all these Christmas movies and they never do a same-sex couple. They said they're open to that. But the right wing is already up in arms over an ad on the Hallmark Channel for Zulu wedding.
Zola.
Z-O-L-A, wedding planning that features a lesbian wedding kiss. There it is.
Now, there are a lot of ads these days featuring same-sex couples, but not frequent on the Hallmark Channel, I guess.
No.
But that's nice to see. The Lifetime Channel, meanwhile, was running one of their 10,000 Christmas movies, this one called Twinkle All the Way, that had a gay male couple on it as characters, sort of sidekicks to the main straight couple that were getting together.
And then there's the Disney Channel. They're continuing High School Musical, which has been a movie series.
Disney Plus, I
think.
Yes,
it's now streaming.
Yeah.
They have their first gay romance. They had the out-proud LGBT character there on the right, Carlos, Frankie Rodriguez, asks his crush, Seb, S-E-B, Joe Serafini, to their homecoming dance. Seb agrees, though he's nervous about dancing together in front of everybody in the school, but I don't want to give too much away.
It's the Disney Channel. What do you think's going to happen?
You know, we got a little time.
I have to report on my deep research of watching the L Word.
I'll save my story if we need to fill.
We may. So Showtime has gone to its Sunday night lesbian lineup. The return of the L Word, which I've been anticipating for months, and a new show called Work in Progress. So we'll start with the L Word, which brings back three of our favorite characters. Jennifer Beals as Bette, who is now running for mayor and has all sorts of problems, including a former affair with one of her staffers, who's a woman who was married to a guy who's now revealing all this. The soap opera continues.
As my friend Anne says, if they didn't do things like that, it wouldn't be a drama.
That's true. And Alicia Haley, who was the one who had the whole diagram about all the incestuous relationships. Well, now she has, she's Ellen. She has a talk show.
Okay.
And Shane, what's her name? Manning.
Not going to be of any help.
Mm. She's fantastic. She was the Lothario of the original series. So they're all back. They're all doing their normal thing, except maybe heightened. And there's a whole cast. Thank you. I will take that lozenge. A whole cast of younger, new characters of various races and gender identities.
Yes, that's right. They've introduced some trans characters.
Well, the whole show opened.
Why don't I tell my story?
With two young women naked in bed having sex.
Good.
One of them performing oral sex on the other. That's the opening shot.
You're looking right up Main Street.
Well, it's a little. Well, they don't actually show you that area, but a lot of naked breasts and naked bodies throughout the show. So it's totally exploitative, totally soap opera. and completely entertaining.
Oh, good.
I'm right back to loving the whole thing. Now, of course, I love the older characters more than the newer characters, but I can see the potential for at least some of the newer characters. I don't resent them all for being
don't
20.
Be a mean girl. Let other people into the group.
I'm trying, and I'm better. I am already feeling better about it after the first episode than I expected to, but I really love the fact that the older ones are there, too. So that's an hour, and that'll be on for a while anyway, at an hour length. And then there's this new show, Work in Progress, created by and starring a woman named Abby McEnany. She is a very butch lesbian and in her mid-40s and sort of a sad sack type and depressed about stuff. And she hooks up, she runs into and gets involved with a young trans man, 22 years old. And discovering the age difference was part of the first episode. But the real thing is that Abby talks about how her life was ruined by Julia Sweeney as Pat on Saturday Night Live because everybody called her Pat off of that, and they would just make fun of her all the time. And so she really is angry about that. Well, Julia Sweeney, it turns out, is an executive producer of this show and shows up in the first episode. They meet in a restaurant. Abby goes up to Julia Sweeney and says, "I'm so angry at you for ruining my life." And Julia Sweeney says, "Oh, my God, I'm so sorry. Let's be friends." They develop this whole relationship.
Anne has been mad at Lillian Hellman all her life.
I am mad at Lillian Hellman, and thank you for reminding me of that, because I wanted to say that, because I had a dream once where I was screaming at Lillian Hellman
because?
For writing The Children's Hour, where she killed the lesbian character.
Suicide. Right. Taking her own life.
How dare you give me that negative image? I thought it was very evolved of me to have the dream, but I'm still mad at Lillian Hellman. But I think it's a very intriguing show, and it's only half an hour. In fact, it may have ended at not much over 20 minutes, so that's a series there, too. So the L Word, Generation Q, followed by Work in Progress on Showtime on Sunday nights.
You're lucky Lillian Hellman isn't watching. She's dead, because she'd be suing you right now like she went after Mary McCarthy destroyed her, even though she died before the suit was finished, because Mary McCarthy once said on Dick Cavett Show, "Every word that Lillian Hellman has ever written is a lie, including the and And Hellman was watching The Cavett Show, and the suit went on for years, and Mary McCarthy didn't have that much money. And she was impoverished
by it. I agree
with
Mary McCarthy. Okay.
All right.
Now, what's your story?
No, my story was relating to the Disney thing where you get, you know, you agree to go to the dance and then you're nervous about it. Because when I was a kid, just a new gay activist, my brother invited me to his wedding, and he said, but we're only having, if you're not married, we're just having singles. We're paying for it. And then I heard somebody else was taking a date. And I said, look, I just want to be treated like everybody else. So I insisted on taking my boyfriend, Jimmy Matulski. Is it okay to say that, Jim? He's now a minister, a gay one. Anyway, so we go, and they agreed to have us, okay, come to the wedding.
And but no longer your boyfriend.
No. It was many, 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 100 years ago, back in the 20th century. So I go to the wedding, and I'm all of a sudden nervous about getting up in front of everybody and dancing at the Knights of Columbus Hall. And my brother-in-law, my big brother-in-law, grabs me and takes me onto the dance floor, which was great of him. And I finally get up with Jimmy. But it taught me a lesson about self-hatred and homophobia that we have to overcome.
Still.
Yes.
You know, it's not like we've gotten rid of all these issues, and people are still in the situation of being isolated within their families for the most part. Some are lucky to have a gay sibling or cousin or whatever, but mostly we're alone in our families.
This is back in 1977, and a gay activist said to me, "Oh, I wouldn't have done that. It's their day. You shouldn't have distracted from it." And I said,
please.
"Screw you.
That's terrible."
He's still alive.
But it was back in the 70s. Let's hope he would have changed his mind now.
We just want to be ourselves. That's what this is all about.
It's a big, beautiful world with a diverse population. And can't we see the richness of that and celebrate that and enjoy it?
And next week, you're going to get to see Chris Cooper. I will not be here.
Welcome, Chris. See you then, and see all of you then, too. Bye.